You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSE has closed its doors for another week, and on the telephone now to describe the action and the potential future action is Greg Davies, Chief Trader at Kratos Capital in Johannesburg. And this podcast is brought to you in proud association with sharenet.co.za. Naspers, Greg. Naspers came out at 14:48. Oh, no, wait a second. Withdrawal of notice of general meeting.
Yeah, that's actually something interesting because they had obviously a general meeting set for in a week or so's time, and the plan was to do this listing in Amsterdam, yeah. The middle of July. But now it looks like some paperwork wasn't done properly, and it looks as though that's been pushed back to September. So actually, on that news, the market took a dim view of all of that, a little bit confused. There was a bit of selling, took the share price down, and then it did recover very, very nicely into the close, and then in the closing auction, it got walloped again, finishing the day down 1%. But as you say, the results came out at 3 o'clock today.
Yes, indeed. They came out exactly 3 o'clock on the 21st of June, on the longest day of the year. And it says the following commentary, it says here, the past year was transformational for the Naspers Group as we initiated and executed a number of significant strategic initiatives. We invested to strengthen our e-commerce segments and broadened our ambition in food delivery. All key segments made good progress against financial and strategic objectives. You know that food delivery business, Greg? I mean, I do it occasionally, you know, when I'm really, really lazy. But I saw some statistics, I mean, monetary statistics about how much this thing is worth worldwide. Tens and tens of billions of dollars worldwide is assigned to food delivery business. It's extraordinary. We didn't even know what it was 5 years ago.
Yes, and I think we're often two old fellows rattling on about millennials, but they want everything brought to their house. I mean, to the point of these Tinder where they don't even have to go to a pub to meet a girl. They sit at home, and so now everything is delivered to your house. You know, in 50
what do you
years'
mean?
Time.
I don't understand the Tinder reference.
I'm saying on these deliveries, why must the food be delivered to you and so on? Why can't you just go down to a restaurant like everybody else?
Exactly. And also, I don't trust it. The chap's on a bike, and maybe they put some stuff in that they're trying to sell to someone else who is from last night, and they've just reheated it. I don't trust it very much. Or is that just me?
Yes, and I remember when we worked together and we ordered food, we knew certain food groups did not travel well. Mm. Certain things you had to avoid, which you didn't want to reheat or any of that.
You can't order a pizza to be delivered because it goes soggy. The base goes soggy. It's going to take 22 minutes for the bloke to get to you on his motorbike to your house. And the thing goes soggy. I don't know. It just seems to me we're becoming very, very lazy.
Yeah, well, I suppose it's created employment. Because around Joburg and obviously Cape Town, Durban, you get a lot of fellows on these scooters with big boxes on the back. Mm. You know, motoring around in all sorts of weather. I always think, gee, these are the bravest guys because, you know, very often it's raining. People don't want to go out. But the poor guy has to get on his scooter and come out to you with the food. You know? So it's a perilous occupation for sure.
Naspers delivered solid results for the year ended 31st of March. Group revenue measured on an economic interest basis, I don't know what that means, and excluding our video entertainment business, was $19 billion US dollars, reflecting growth of 16% or 29% in local currency, etc. adjusted. Measured similarly, group trading profit increased 10% or 22% in local currency to $3.3 billion, driven by classifieds, e-tail, in brackets online retail, and payments in fintech, the e-commerce business posted a strong performance and reduced trading losses by a meaningful 14%. Core headline earnings from continuing operations was up 26% to $3 billion US dollars. Complicated set of results, Greg, but it seems to me that they're moving right into the classifieds, the e-tailing, and also the food delivery business, and they've got rid of MultiChoice, of course.
Yeah, spun off the MultiChoice, and that's been quite a strong listing on its own. 26% growth, that looks solid. It's just one of those things, you sort of see these nice patch results and think, well, let me print them out and go through them. Then you suddenly start thinking to yourself, there's so many moving parts to this business, so many things which you can't really predict. It's a whole other universe when it comes to analyzing these type of businesses. Also, the politics which play on the Tencent. You know, also the mechanics of how big Naspers is weighted in our market, how big Tencent is weighted in Hong Kong. So you sort of go with all the enthusiasm to drill down into these numbers, but you often realize it's just sentiment that's really going to drive these share prices. As long as they keep growing that HEPS number, you should imagine, I think Naspers probably get beyond 4,000 before the end of this year.
Tencent continues to lead in China with 10 of the top 20 mobile apps. Weixin and WeChat's combined monthly active users reached 1.1 billion, and its super app status was strengthened by the expansion of Weixin mini programs. Tencent strengthened engagement with young users, etc., etc. It goes on. But anyway, revenues for Tencent increased by 15% to 177 billion renminbi, with online games revenues growing 6%, etc. It just goes on and on. This is an extraordinary story. So you reckon 4,000 on Naspers?
I think so. And I mean, that's quite conservative. And I'm just basing that on reading research reports from some of the bigger brokers. Some have seen numbers of 4,500, some 5,000. But most people seem to be quite bullish. And, you know, nothing derails the stock. You know, obviously you've got the unbundling part and the separate listings in Europe. So one will have to see how all of that plays out. But I think this one's on an upward trend.
Yes, indeed. The prospect statement says the following, Greg. Our focus in the year ahead will remain on driving profitability in our established e-commerce segments, accelerating investment to scale food delivery, extending products and services in our core segments, and using our strong balance sheet to selectively invest in new opportunities. We will improve the competitiveness of our platforms by continuing to invest in tech and product and reinforce our artificial intelligence capabilities. That's interesting. Artificial intelligence, suddenly. Naspers is like a Google and an Apple. They're going for AI. Mm.
Yes, and I like the fact you're just saying using that strong balance sheet, and you do find that is very much the case. More scouring the earth for the next, you know, to try and catch the next Google, the next Facebook, the next crypto, or whatever that may be. You know, always difficult for us to imagine until these things on our doorsteps. But, you know, they've got a huge war chest, and they've got some of the top people. Look, they got 10 cents, and so I suppose the theory that there's got to be more. And you know, you have to back them to find another similar a winner like Tencent.
Yeah, that was a once off. That really was, and that was Chris Becker's genius when he did that, because he always believed in China, even though he lost a billion rand. And in those days, a billion rand was a lot of money in his first Chinese venture. Okay, let's go to some other companies. PBT Group Limited, Greg, came out with a trading statement at 15:24 today. PBT Group Limited, what is that?
Yeah, it got me a little confused when you did mention we were going to speak about it. It's not a very big counter. Okay. See, it's trading here at 15 cents.
No, it's not.
Furiously.
No, it's not. It's not.
Which
one? It's trading at 149, up 2.75%. It says here, PBT Group Limited, the code is PBG.
Oh, PBG.
Not PBT.
BBC, I was looking at the one which is listed in Hong Kong. Yeah, this one, it did trade at 149, yeah. Went out after the trading update, had a solid bid, 15,000 shares at 160, offered 160,000 shares at 170. No idea.
Okay, PPC. PPC Limited, we know what that
does. Seem to have one or two of these a week, which are completely under my radar. But in my defense, market capitalization, 200 million. I don't look anything under 40 billion.
Okay, PPC Limited, snob. PPC Limited, we know what that does. Pretoria Portland Cement, trading statement, up 4%. Nice move.
Yes, that is. And it's a space where, I mean, obviously all our construction stocks have been under big pressure. PPC... this is encouraging to see, because you think perhaps a beginning of a turnaround. They're obviously our biggest cement player. You know, the biggest struggle that they've had is cheap imports coming in from north of our borders and from China.
And there's some from Pakistan arguments. As well. No, Pakistan, yes. Really big importer, or rather exporter to South Africa.
I remember speaking to Pat Goldrick from Cash Builder about this cheaper cement. What he was saying to me is, you know, it's incredible that they can get it into our ports and into our construction sites at cheaper than we can produce it here. But very often it's the case you build a house and 3 years later the house falls over. So perhaps the market become aware of that and gone with with the big elephant, the PPC.
Let's hope so. Let's have a look now at the indexes. How did we close the week, please, Greg?
Yeah, interesting day. The bank's down 0.40, financials down 0.02, so more or less flat. Industrials up 0.18. The retailers flat, really, I suppose, slightly better. Gold index managed to gain 0.25%, platinum slightly lower. Resources up 0.43. That left the all share up 0.34, 200 points higher, 59,174. So getting a foothold above the 59. A nice rebalance in the closing auction pushed the volume to 37 billion.
Okay. And was ShopRite removed from something? Because I'm looking at the top five major moves up and down on sharenet.co.za, Greg, and ShopRite down 6.5%. What on earth happened there?
The ones which I do know is Netcare has come out and Exxaro has come in. ShopRite, that's been a head scratcher and a lot of phone calls around the market today trying to work out what this could be. Did speak to one hedge fund manager saying that they are possibly expecting a bad set of results. This is a bit vague, but down 6.3%. You could also possibly imagine a Christo Visa might need to sell some more shares. He's still quite a big shareholder in ShopRite, so maybe the market's fearing another big book build around about these prices. But there's definitely something afoot there. 6% down in very, very big volume, 650 million rands worth of shares trading hands. So I'll be keeping a close eye on my stock exchange news service for ShopRite next week.
Yes, indeed. Capital & Count is down 2.4%, Intuprop down 2.1%, and Pioneer Foods down 2.1% as well. Give us the upside, though, Greg. Let's have a look at the upside going into a weekend.
Well, let me just refresh so I get the freshest off the ShopRite shelves here. The upside, Coronation up 3.4% to 47 Rand 40. Exxaro, as I mentioned, was going in to their top 40, up 3%, 177 Rand 50. Resilience, my old friend, up 2%, 62 Rand 53. It's having a nice little patch there. Nice to see it well above 60 again. Suntum up 2%. MTN, that's pretty interesting, up 100 at 110 Rand, up 2%. There was some talk about freeing up spectrum in the Sonar last night as well. That could have helped MTN.
What does that mean?
The spectrum which the cell phone providers, which Vodacom obviously sells, MTN at the moment, can use is pretty thin, if I can put it simplistically. So the amount of towers which they need to put and the amount of maintenance is quite considerable. If they had a wider spectrum, you could have less towers, which obviously less cost to those service providers. Yeah. The cost of data and so on would come down. But for some reason, the government has been holding on, perhaps correctly, because now there'll be an auction for that spectrum and there should be quite a big battle for that. And perhaps for once, they get the right price for one of their assets.
Let's hope so. On the spot market, we are looking at a dollar rand of 14.31, British pound against the rand 18.18, and euro rand 16.21, with the euro dollar 113.22. Again, that dollar just easing lower, the euro easing higher. On the gold price front, wow, this is fantastic. It was 1,400 again. You said that when you were bench pressing at the Virgin Active Gin in Sandton at around about 4:45 this morning, Greg, the gold price went significantly through 1,400. Must have been thin conditions. Went to 1,400 again at lunchtime. Yes. Now 1,394, yes. But still up $5 off its highs, but still up $5. May need a bit of a pullback because people are getting far too enthusiastic. Actually, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to blow a run trumpet. We said it was going up. Clarence Delgado, our hedge manager friend in London, said, as he was fondling his gold bars in Geneva, said it was going to 1,500. That's his first target. And also Peter Schiff said exactly the same thing. A broken record, but nonetheless, he was absolutely right. But I think it needs to come back a bit, don't you?
Yes, I've got some of my institutional clients locking in some profits on their gold holdings. Not something that they sit comfortably with because it's just so many moving parts to working out that gold price. But some big returns made over the month and people banking those, to show their clients a nice profit for the month of June We've still got a week or so to go.
Platinum unchanged at 807. The palladium price is up 22. Oh, wait a second. This was down this morning, down 13 or something. Suddenly up $22 an ounce to 1503, just $97 away from all-time record highs. And the Brent crude oil price, this is massive. It's up 10% in the week. It's up 1% today, 65.54, as Iran and the US trade insults. Amazing stuff. What's happening on the international markets, please?
Yes, I mean, the Dow continues that run. We must be at all-time highs in the Dow. We certainly were on the S&P last night. 26,874 in the Dow. Wow. That's 120 points better. I see the FTSE is down 10. I suppose that's politics. NASDAQ's up 9. The S&P at the moment just up 6, but still looking solid.
Very good. Greg, what do we look forward to next week? I don't know, really. Today's the longest day, or the shortest day in South Africa. Shortest day. It must be dark already.
Yeah, Joburg, you know, you leave the office at 5:45 and it's pitch black. You feel like you're driving around at midnight. Actually, just wanted to read you something from Donald J. Trump.
Oh, yeah, go on.
Which actually was on his Facebook page. It said, President Obama made a desperate and terrible deal with Iran, gave them $150 billion plus $1.8 billion in cash.
Yes, yes.
Iran was in big trouble and we bailed them out, gave them a free path to nuclear weapons, and soon, in capital letters, instead of saying thank you, Iran yelled death to America. I terminated the deal. Anyway, it's a smash cut to where he said they had four different plans last night to take retaliation. And he asked one of his generals how many people would die. And the general said 150. He said, it's not worth it. But certainly, why I'm mentioning that is just to probably puts emphasis on the oil price, that things are certainly ramping up. And you should imagine there'll be some action in the Gulf in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, it's very, very exciting. You just don't know what's going to happen because apparently he was 10 minutes away from pushing the button and attacking Iran.
Yes,
I don't know, maybe Melania came and stroked his leg or something and said, darling, just calm down a little bit. Have another KFC and Diet Coke. Yeah, whatever it was.
Yeah.
Greg, have a lovely weekend. Well, I don't know if she's that fascinating. She can barely smile because she's had so many Botox operations. But anyway, that's for another discussion. Greg, thank you so much for your input this evening and all week, and have a great weekend. Greg Davies is the chief trader at Kratos Capital, and that was the 5 o'clock shadow. That podcast was proudly brought to you in association with ShareNet.co.za.